grace, mercy, and peace of God are yours, a gift planned in eternity, purchased and won in time, and made your own possession. To God alone the glory. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this first Sunday in Trinity is taken from the book of Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, Son of God from eternity, Son of Man, born of the Virgin Mary, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. Perfect. We use that word somewhat frequently, very often to describe things that are not technically without flaw. We use the word to describe a steak that has been cooked to our liking. It was perfect. We use the word sarcastically to describe an event far from perfect. A flat tire in the middle of rush hour. Perfect! We use the word to describe the weather when we find it to our liking. It was a perfect day. And we may use the word to describe someone we care deeply about. She is perfect. The word perfect describes something or someone that is without flaw. And as much as we may use the word of other people, in reality, we know just one person who is actually perfect. As much as we like to throw around that word perfect, there's nothing in our lives that is actually, totally perfect. Ever since the fall into sin, everything is imperfect, save our perfect Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a time when everything and everyone was actually perfect. It's hard for us even to imagine something that is truly and actually without flaw because we have nothing with which to compare it. For us, the perfect day still draws to a close. The perfect spouse isn't really without flaw. In the Word of God before us this morning, we look in on the creation of the first humans and the beginning of the humanity that we see today. In the beginning, it was perfect. Humanity was created in God's image, the crown of the creation. Humanity was given dominion over the animal kingdom and over all that dwells on the earth. Humanity was created male and female and given the ability to procreate. Humanity was perfect. Humanity is no longer perfect. We will see how we are different today and be reminded of God's perfect plan to make everything perfect again. We ask that God the Holy Spirit would bless our study of these words according to Jesus' own promise. Sanctify them by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. God's word begins by telling us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's after this opening statement that our Creator reveals some of the details. Namely, in 6 24-hour days, each consisting of a morning and an evening, God called into existence the universe and the earth and set about decorating them. Almighty God placed the sun, moon, and stars, along with countless galaxies and planets, in the heavens. Afterward, God set about arranging the earth. creating and placing fish in the waters and plants and animals on the land across the face of the earth. In the course of those six 24-hour days, the Bible tells us that God spoke a number of times, calling into existence some of the things that we still see today. God simply said, "Let there be," and there was. In a few days, the earth came to be, growing with plants and teeming with animals. God also gave them the ability to reproduce and to populate the earth. But it was on the sixth day that God did something that he had not done. God spoke to himself and later caused Moses to write it down, what he said on the sixth day of creation. What God said and the way in which he spoke tells us something about the nature of God. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." We believe and confess that there is one God who is also three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe this to be the case because the Bible teaches clearly both things, that there is one God who is at the same time called God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We use a word not found in the Bible, Trinity or Triune, to describe the reality that is taught therein. Now, normally, when we speak to ourselves, and if you talk to yourself, you probably speak in the first person, as in, "I think I'll go to the fridge and get myself a glass of milk." But when God spoke to himself, he spoke in the first person plural. "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." In so doing, God made plans to create again, this time no animal, but the crown of his creation, humankind. God determined to create humanity in his image and according to his likeness. Great, fantastic, perfect. But what does that mean? Well, let's start with what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that Adam and Eve were created to resemble God, to look like him outwardly. If being created in God's image meant that the first human beings had the same physical characteristics as God, then Adam and Eve would have been spirits, because God is a being without a body. He himself says so in his word. The man and the woman, however, were made flesh and blood. They were very good, along with the rest of creation. They were physically perfect in every respect. They were, unlike us, without defect or flaw, without germ, without disease, without death. In creating humankind in his image and likeness, God created them to share some of his characteristics. In other words, they were obviously superior to the animals that had been made, in that they were intelligent beings, able to reason, to grow, to learn. Scripture reveals, as you heard in our Old Testament lesson, that Adam named every living thing. The first human beings also had a perfect knowledge of God, according to Colossians 3, verse 10. They knew what was expected of them because the law of God had been written into their hearts as a moral compass. What a striking difference this is to the so-called theory of evolution. In that human attempt to write God out of history, it suggested that the first human beings were dumb animals, brutish descendants of apes. It suggests that mankind is still no more than an animal. But God declares in his word that mankind, in being created in his image, was in fact intelligent, wise, No caveman. The crown of his creation, able to choose and do what is morally right. And why did God give humankind superior mental abilities? Well, you read it right here. It was God's plan that he would rule over the earth, over the animal kingdom, to contain and to maintain it. And so the first human beings were not half animals, but God created royalty to rule over the earth, to preserve and maintain its resources as good stewards. God also created humanity to have an intimate relationship with himself. God personally made those first models and breathed into them the breath of life, giving them souls in addition to their bodies. In creating them in his image, God made them to be righteous and holy. They knew God and they understood his works without any instruction. They didn't have to be taught. They were without sin and they desired to do God's will with joy and pleasure. And so the next verse stands as a recap. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So let's summarize. God created humankind originally in his own image, physically perfect and without flaw. God created humanity with superior mental intellect and reason to rule the earth and the animal kingdom. God created humanity on the sixth day, male and female. While God created both Adam and Eve on the sixth day, the details of how and why God went about doing that are related to us in the second chapter of Genesis, which you heard as our Old Testament lesson. After creating man from the dust of the earth and breathing into him the breath of life, making him a living being, God fashioned a companion for him by taking his rib and fashioning it into a woman, which, by the way, means literally out of man. God gave them the ability to reproduce, having made them male and female, and having created in them the desire one for the other. They were, in every sense of the word, perfect. So what in the world has happened? God created humanity with intelligence and reason, but mankind seems to have regressed into stupidity and ignorance. You watch the news? God created humanity to rule over the creation, to take care of it, but mankind has now elevated animals to equality with himself and waste and pollute Earth's resources. God created humanity with a perfect knowledge of himself, but now man declares that there is no God, or create and worship gods of their own imagination, including the earth itself. God created humanity righteous and holy, but now mankind daily proves himself to be the opposite, unrighteous and unholy. God created humanity as male and female, and now mankind declares that's an outdated concept. There are thousands of different genders. God created the woman for the man, but now a man and another man, a woman and another woman. God blessed the man and the woman with the ability to procreate within the bounds of marriage, and now mankind declares, naturally, that marriage is an outdated concept. What was once perfect and pure is now, well, broken, polluted. It's true that humanity still does have greater intellect than the animal kingdom, though that's debatable sometimes. It's true that man can still reason and learn and grow, and it's true that God can still be known through his word. But we are not remotely close to perfect anymore. The story is quite different today. And our Creator God tells us the unvarnished truth about humanity, and it's not a passing grade. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now let me ask you, if you were in the place of God, who created everything originally to be perfect, and it all went to this, what would you do? I think I'd consider it a science project gone bad and throw the mass of humanity into the dumpster and start over. But that isn't what God did. He sent his own dear son, a perfect jewel, into the dumpster to become one of us. He was born without sin, righteous and holy, just like the first man and his wife, but different. He had perfect knowledge of God and his will. He delighted to do what is good every time and in every circumstance. Humanity sinned and lost God's image. No longer were the first models righteous and holy. We are no longer ourselves righteous and holy. But by faith in Christ, in his perfect life and his innocent death, we are accounted as righteous by our gracious God. And now when God looks upon us and all those who trust in his Son, he does not see a cesspool of wickedness. He sees Jesus' perfect obedience credited to our accounts. He sees his life of love. And he smiles upon us, and he delights to hear and answer our prayers. So why would a perfect God deal with broken and perverse humanity in this way? Well, it's surely not because we deserve such treatment. It's testimony to his perfect love and mercy. It's because of his perfect Son, who did all things perfectly, so that wicked beings like us could be declared righteous and holy and reserved a place in his house for eternity. There, we will again be renewed completely in the image of God, knowing God and being righteous and holy in our mind and in our will. And then once more, everything will be truly perfect. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.